Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day. I have a quick disclosure my lawyer wants me to do before we start the show. On this show, I share general information, not medical advice. I am not your doctor. And do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything you hear on this show. Now that we're done with the disclosure, let's get started. Hi, this is Dr. John Day, and welcome to the Dr. John Day Show. This is podcast number 11, 6 strategies to overcome emotional eating. I have a confession to make. I am an emotional eater. When I have something I need to do, but I really don't feel like doing it, I suddenly feel hungry and will reach for food. Over the years, I have given myself permission to procrastinate if I need to eat first. I also use food to reward myself. If I have just finished a killer workout or spent hours grueling with a difficult surgery, as soon as I finish, I want to reward myself with something, generally, that my body does not need. Interestingly, I had no idea I was even an emotional eater. I really had no idea I was subconsciously eating to procrastinate or rewarding myself for accomplishing something that maybe I really didn't want to do. It was not until I kept a food journal that I actually realized that I was even an emotional eater. I had always thought that emotional eaters were people that were depressed or, you know, having difficulties coping with life and turned to food, but I really didn't realize that for me, I was using food every day as a way to procrastinate, to not do what I really needed to do. And with this food journal, it reminded me of how much I had already eaten and that I really wasn't hungry. I couldn't be hungry. The data showed me that I couldn't be hungry. And then I started evaluating, well, why am I reaching for this? Interestingly, prior to my food journal experiment, I would forget what I had just eaten and then convince myself I was hungry again. And little by little, over the course of a day, I had consumed huge amounts of calories without even realizing it. As cumbersome and as pain in the rear end, if you whatever you want to say, as it can be to keep a food journal, it did finally give me some insight and clarity on something that I had been doing my entire life. I came to realize that I really wasn't hungry at these times. I just didn't want to do whatever I needed to do. I was just procrastinating. Food was, and it still is, if I'm not careful, an emotional distraction for me. Like so many people, I got hunger confused with the other emotions that I was feeling, namely, that I didn't want to do what I had to do. Emotional eating can come in many different forms. And these experiences and associations with food are often things that we learn in childhood, and they persist with us without us even realizing it. So with emotional eating, what do the medical studies tell us? Certain foods, especially the ones that really taste good, the high sugar, unhealthy, fatty foods, have provided us with emotional comfort over the course of our lives. Indeed, studies show that these are the foods that emotional eaters primarily turn to for comfort. I know in my own case, when I was procrastinating, I didn't turn to a bag full of carrots or celery. No. I wanted the real stuff. Emotional eating is a major reason for eating more than what our bodies really need. Studies also show that unless emotional eating is addressed, long-term weight loss for emotional eaters is extremely difficult. We have to identify what is driving our emotional eating. And like I said, in my case, the food diary was really gave me the insight and clarity to what was going on. And once I was able to address this, it made everything so much easier, and I was able to be much more successful in eating only what my body really needs. So let me give you 6 strategies for overcoming emotional eating. The key for success and long-term health is to identify these emotions, determine if you're really hungry, and then redirect the action once these emotions arise. So here are my 6 tips. Number 1, recognize your emotions. Are you sad, bored, lonely, stressed out, or angry? Most likely, you're not really hungry at all. Most of the time, I wasn't hungry. It could be that what you really need is to connect with a supportive friend or family member, some physical activity, or to do something that you really enjoy doing something for yourself, like reading a great book, listening to some wonderful music, etc. Often, if we do one of these things, you know, the sensation of hunger will likely pass. You could even create a new rule for yourself, such as, when I feel fill in the blank, I will go for a walk first. And you know what? Then if I'm still hungry at the end of the walk, then I will give myself permission to eat something healthy. Number 2, eat 3 healthy options first. If you really feel that you absolutely have to have food when you're feeling whatever particular emotion or trying to procrastinate, in my case, try eating 3 healthy food options first, like celery, an apple, a handful of nuts, etc. And on the nuts, just be careful, a handful, that what you can fit in the center of your palm. Don't go crazy with the nuts. Before you give yourself permission to turn to your old comfort foods, generally by the time you've had 3 healthy options, you'll lose the urge and to return to those old comfort food items. Number 3, have a plan. If you're in a situation where you're feeling very overpowered by your emotions, it often helps to have a plan. Write down what you will eat for the day the night before. Having a set out plan the night before can really help to keep you out of trouble. Prepare all your foods ahead of time so that you're ready to go the next day. This is something that has been very helpful for me. If I don't bring a lunch and snacks with me in the morning, you know what? I'm going to be reaching for that pizza, the Diet Coke as a reward after a long or difficult surgery. And with regards to snacks, what I found is if we eat right, if we eat foods with enough protein, healthy fats, and eat the proper amounts, we often don't need to snack. And so that's something that snacking has really become sort of an American pastime. And in fact, studies show that we get about a third of our calories just from snacking. Some people will get more than half their calories from snacking. Eat a real meal with real foods. And you know what? You might find that you really don't need to snack after all. And so once again, by bringing your food to work, at least for me, bringing it to work helps me to stay away from the craving for pizza and Diet Coke after a long, difficult surgery. This also takes away the decision-making process, as you've already decided ahead of time what you will eat for the day. Write down everything you will eat as part of the plan. Sometimes just writing it down is all that we need to stay on track. Number 4, get enough sleep and physical activity. Often I find that when people are not getting enough sleep or physical activity, it's a normal thing to turn to these comfort food items. Our bodies are hardwired to seek out high sugar or unhealthy, high fat foods when we are sleep deprived, stressed out, etc. Number 5, keep a food journal. This has really been my best tool for fighting emotional eating. Too often I forget what I've just eaten, and then guess what? I think I'm hungry again. And this is especially if I'm very tired, it's been a long, difficult surgery, etc. The food journal reminds me that it is not hunger, but really a different emotion that I'm dealing with at the time. And so I get it. I know food journals are a big hassle, but this big hassle might just be the key to your success and the key to your long-term health. I know it was for me. When I walk past the nurse's station, and I hate to say this, but nearly every nurse's station that I see in the hospital, there are bags of chips, cookies, candies, everything laying out, all the junk for us. So it's all around us. We live in this toxic environment, and it's so difficult to live healthy. I know. I deal with these same emotions, these same cravings. But keeping this food journal, keeping a record, is what helps me to prevent me from just taking a little, because I know I've got to record it. So the food journal has taught me how to eat mindfully. For me, I like using electronic devices. There are a lot of electronic devices for your smartphones. Lose It is probably the most popular. That's LOSEIT, Lose It. A great tool. Not only is it a great food diary, what I like most about this tool is it will also give you a nutritional analysis of everything you eat. You can see if you're getting enough protein, because protein, if you're not getting enough protein, that can be a cause for hunger. However, that's not usually the problem for most Americans. Sometimes we get way too much protein, and so it can help you to see what you really need. And what our body, the studies show that we really need about 1 gram of protein for every kilogram that we weigh. If you want to be safe, maybe get a little bit more. You know, I tend to get about 30 to 40% more protein as far as grams per kilograms than what is recommended. But that's a great way of keeping track, let you know what fats, carbohydrates, etc. And the paid version of it will even tell you how much added sugar that you're getting a day. You can see how much fiber you're getting. So it can be a great tool. So number 6, our last one, learn from your bad days. It's human to have a bad day and fall off the wagon. When this happens, don't beat yourself up. Don't say, I'm going to start eating crap for the rest of my life because I had one bad day. Rather, analyze your day. What happened? What were the triggers? What caused you to go down that way? Learn from these experiences so that you will do it better next time. A bad day can teach you how to improve going forward. I meet too many patients. They have one bad day, then they binge, go crazy, and decide they're going to live unhealthy because of one bad day. No, 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 no. It's human. It happens. It's okay. You can keep going. Just analyze the day, what happened, and then learn from it. So to review the 6 strategies that I found that are very helpful for me and my patients in overcoming emotional eatings. Number 1, recognize your emotions. You're probably not really hungry at all. There's something else going on. Number 2, eat 3 healthy options first before you turn to your comfort foods. Number 3, have a plan. Plan out what you're going to do ahead of time. Number 4, take care of yourself. Get enough sleep and physical activity. Then you'll be less likely to have these emotional issues that might cause you to want to eat more. Number 5, keep yourself honest with a food journal. Food journals, I know they're a big pain, but they're incredibly helpful. Number 6, learn from bad days. Don't let one bad day cause you to destroy your health. Just learn from it. Analyze it. It's one day. No big deal. Life is a lot more than one day. It is thousands and thousands of days. Learn from it and going forward. So what do you think? What has helped you with emotional eating? I found that emotional eating is something that most of my patients, if they're honest, that they do have some form of emotional eating. What's worked for you? How do you help keep things in track? Please let me know what works for you. It can be incredibly helpful for others who come to the site. Go to my website, drjohnday.com. Leave me your comments. Please share this podcast. Share the newsletter. The newsletter is wonderful. We have things in that newsletter that you won't find anywhere else on my website. Share it with others. Share the love. We can all work together, help each other to live healthier and happier lives. Also, go on to iTunes, leave me a rating so that others can find this as well. Thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and I look forward to seeing you with our next one. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.